The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Hey, good girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to My Brother Mean Advice Show for the Modern Era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middleest brother, Travis McElroy.
I'm your sweet-ass brother, Griffin McElroy.
Your ass brother, Griffin McElroy.
Cycle 2-2, America's Next Top Model, is back.
Boys continue to be in the house.
Boys are still in the house.
That's also, still a heavy element of the show.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Like, they still, like, it's still in the theme song, Boys in the House. But it's even like, boys
3 years in?
Yeah, 3 years in. Boys are still in the house.
They should shake it up and do, like, dogs and cats in the house.
Yeah.
Well, they had one angle that they started to pursue in this cycle of ANTM 2.2, which was...
It's not two murderers in the house.
It's a double X, double I.
Double X, double I, baby. No. God, I hope everybody who listens to the show watches ANTM, and if you don't, then piss off. We don't want you
your
listening.
Time.
Yeah. They had an angle this season, which was no beauty has no size or some shit like that, where you could just be small because all the models on past seasons are all like 6 foot beautiful, and now they're like 4 foot lovely.
I don't think they've ever done short and guys. That's like two things.
A new combination.
It's a new combination. Who's your favorite so far of the crew?
Niall, definitely. Niall. I like Mame. I think she's bringing a good style to it. She seems very professional, and I think that's important for this environment.
I think Tyra's going to win this year.
What if Tyra just won?
She was America's Next Top Model?
Do you know how fucking desperate she is every year when she announces the winner to just, like, it catches on her tongue. Tyra, I should win, though.
Niall, year, Justin, do you want to bust out Niall's amazing... Niall.
Travis, you're not an ANTM fan, right? So I'm relating this to you.
Yes, please.
Niall is a deaf gentleman.
Beautiful. Beautiful features. Beautiful jawline.
Beautiful
he needs
features.
To work on it. He's not using his face sex very well. Mm-hmm. And he's got
That's true.
He's got a lot of it.
Did
he's got
you say face sex?
Face sex.
Sex. Okay, with an E.
Yeah. Niall has two methods through which he communicates. One is an interpreter. Which is
Who's
amazing.
He is
because he's just like there and chilling, and like the models are in the house, like getting cray, and he's just like waiting for Niall to start waving his hands and making sign language so he can do something. But other than that, I bet he's contractually obligated to be like silent. Like, there's no way he's allowed to add to the drama of the house. Like, he can't sleep around with the models, etc. So that's the one thing. The other thing is they gave him a phone that has like a text to voice feature. So, like, every once in a while, this fool will just, like, quiet the house with his cell phone. Just, like, raise it above his head and, like, blast his missives. Yes, on the episode I watched yesterday, the one of the ladies was upset because they shaved half of her hair. And it caused quite a stir. And Niall raises his cell phone aloft and it says, "You're all talking about hair, hair, hair. Do I complain about my deafness? No."
Boom!
It's like, okay, how did you sit on that for 5 eps? There's been a lot of meaningless conversation up to this point. Why is this the moment to deploy?
It is weird having that, the ASL interpreter in the house, because it's weird to have somebody not especially beautiful. He's got a beautiful spirit,
but
it's
like cut to him for like the confessionals, or he's just like, I couldn't care less.
I just don't.
You're right. He's not an ugly dude.
He's not ugly.
But he's walking amongst gods and goddesses.
Right.
I like totally, no human could compete in this environment. But it makes him by comparison look like Gollum. He's hiding in the shadows, waiting for somebody to drop a raw fish so he can skitter out and maybe interpret some sign language.
I have in my head already like just mythologized, whatever, turn this gentleman, just like as people are running through the house, like yelling at each other, like, you stole my thing or whatever. He's just like quietly eating a sandwich at the kitchen counter, and you just like see him in the background as the camera pans past him.
No, he can't be. He can't be. They tried to make him stay off camera as much as possible, so he like hides behind curtains and just watches
from his shoes poking out the bottom.
His shoes poking out, waiting to interpret some sign language. It's, I mean, like, we're having fun. It's kind of awesome that, like, for a show like this, they like made the accommodations for this gentleman. It's just like it gives the whole show like this crazy, like, I don't like sci-fi, like, absurdist angle that there's just like a guy who's there also, just like
an traveler from the normal world, like, studying what the beautiful people do.
Is exactly, it's cycle 2.2. It's cycle 2.2. ASL interpreter in the house.
I really
the amazing one of the second most amazing moment from last night's episode is that one of the women was talking about the haircut she was getting, and they said they're giving me a cut similar to Tyra's new look, and they literally pop a picture up of Tyra Banks in case in the last like 30 seconds since you have seen Tyra Banks on this show, you have forgotten what Ty's new look looks like. Here is a reminder of Tyra Banks' visage.
I mean, it definitely looks like the woman from House of Cards. Definitely looks like Robin Wright. Is that
Wright? Formerly Knee Robin Wright Penn.
Penn.
Knee
shit.
Robin Wright. Yeah, used to be, not anymore. So that is our contractually obligated 7 minutes on America's Next Top Model. This is an advice show, as you've almost certainly gathered. And we're ready to get into it. So let me pop open the top on this fresh batch of questions. A few weeks ago, a coworker informed me that she had, quote, some sort of Sega console in her basement.
Oh, boy.
And asked if I would be interested in taking it. I told her that I would be happy to take it off her hands, and she promised to bring it in the next day. It has been a few weeks, and she seems to have forgotten about it. I want it, but I feel like it'd be rude to pester her for something she said she'd give me for free. Is there a tactful way to bring it up and get my hands on it? That's from Seeking a Sega in St. Paul. Whoosh!
A lot of variables here. Before we get into this,
so many variables.
I want to ask about those tie-overs. There was one woman who part of her tie-over is they whitened her teeth, and they didn't do that for anybody else. They didn't do that for anybody. Can you imagine being the one person that's like, oh, in addition to your haircut, we're also going to whiten your teeth. Like, cool, is that a service everybody else is getting? No, just you.
Just you.
We're also going to bleach your butthole.
If we're going to bleach your butt, is something, oh, is everyone getting, no, it's just.
No, it's just you.
Just you.
Just you. This is a special request.
You have a special teeth and butthole.
So, okay, I feel like we have to provide several answers to this question. Number one, if it's a Sega Master System,
fuck it.
Fuck it. It's not even worth it.
What if it's a Sega CD?
Sega CD, Justin.
If it's working, then I say go for it. A lot of them, because it has a motor in the spindle, a lot of those are like not functioning very well. So if it's a Sega CD system, or God Almighty, if it's like a Nomad, for example.
Oh my God, yeah,
a Nomad, that would be amazing. Or one of the like, the CDX, where like the CD and Genesis is all like built
the
in.
The 32X, I think it's what.
No. The CDX is a different.
Oh, that's right.
It's a combined.
Why does she just have this in her basement?
Well, everybody's got a Sega system in their basement somewhere. My house doesn't even have a fucking basement, and I have a basement with like a Sega Saturn in it. Everyone has an old Sega system somewhere in their house, even if you don't.
Oh, I just found mine.
Oh, yeah.
There it is.
I would also say,
I would also say a Saturn would not be worth it. Now, if it is a Dreamcast, you move heaven and earth.
Yeah.
Whatever, pester every day. Leave notes. Hide under her desk. Hello, it's me. Did you bring the Dreamcast today?
You just got a letter now. I don't want to rule in on this though, unless I know, because there's a ratio of effort to Sega system quality.
Here's the other side of this question, asker. If she does remember in like 2 weeks and you didn't say anything, I think it compounds and she goes, oh my God, I'm so sorry, I didn't. But if you walk over and just go like, hey, do you still have that Sega system? And, like, just bring it up.
Like you're saying the longer you delay asking about it, the more eagerly she'll be like, if you wait 2 months, she'll be like, oh my God, I can't believe I wasted 2 months of your life. Let me go. I'll get you the Dreamcast, and then I'll also go out and I'll buy you a copy of Shenmue and a copy of Power Stone and a copy of Sonic Adventure 2.
What if in the interim, since she had this conversation with you, she saw your eyes light up when she mentioned she had a Dreamcast. Maybe she's like, what am I missing? Like, maybe mm-hmm. I need to get deep into this fantastic system. Oh. And now she's like, oh, yeah, I'll bring it to you as soon as I finish Blue Stinger. Yeah.
I just need to beat Seaman real quick. But here's the thing. You can't beat Seaman. It just keeps going.
Seaman never ends.
You can only beat Seaman once you kill him.
That's true.
And that's not hard.
Do you guys remember, can we tell the Seaman story of that time we went to the beach? And the two of you were, I killed my Seaman. Once Seaman learned to talk, and he was like, hey, dickhead. I'm like, nope.
You're a real asshole.
You're,
hey, Jagweed.
Hey, what's up? Not much. I'm going to boil you. And I just
hey, did you bring any babes this time? I asked you to bring babes.
Seaman, I can't. You have to kill your boss, Travis.
Whoa, damn.
Seaman, no.
Kill your
Did
parents.
You bring me any weed?
But so, like, we went to the beach for vacation, and we left the
power
AV cables at home for our Dreamcast, and we fucking flipped shit because our Seamans were going to die. We made our parents like drive to the store and buy AV cables immediately.
Well, and now, it was it's all worth noting it.
That like you can definitely change the clock on the Dreamcast. So that would not have been an issue. But we were idiot kids. What did we know?
That was also the vacation, if I remember correctly, where we first saw Deep Blue Sea.
Mm-hmm.
Very momentous.
Yeah, it's a very momentous occasion. Then there was that time in Philadelphia where we saw the guy who ran up to us and said, hey, I do something the whole family can enjoy. Backflips.
And it was awesome.
It was great.
It was awesome.
How many times have we told that story about? Do you think that man knew, like, I'm going to immortalize myself with this desperate act of flipping?
Maybe he was, a listener from the future.
Oh, shit. Listen, in order to avoid a catastrophic paradox, you must have your whole family watch me do flips.
Also, I would appreciate a $5 bill.
$5 should go down.
We gave him.
Maybe he was saving our lives. Maybe, like, 10 feet ahead of us as he was doing the backflip, a sniper shot rang out. It was the only thing, like, he was coming up with it in the moment. Like, I do something the whole family can enjoy. And then the first thing that came to his mind is backflip. And he thought,
oh shit. What if the sniper saw him like, oh no, he's getting in the way. And then he shot and then he flips and the bullet misses him because it goes over his head.
And then until he walked away, he just looked at little Griffin and said, you're safe now, great, 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 great grandfather.
You're safe now, Mr. President. What if he realized after he said backflip, he didn't know how to do a backflip, and he just
why
had
haven't
to summon
I left?
It in that moment?
Well, you did leap, and then you spun backwards.
Because that's a backflip, Travis.
Oh, yeah,
sheesh.
Yeah.
Sheesh. I would honestly, if this was me, I would have already, like, asked about it. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Maybe say, like, there's a casual way. Maybe say, like, hey, did you ever figure out what kind of Sega console you had? Because I was going to buy a couple controllers for it on eBay.
Mm, nice.
Because I found a good deal on some.
How about a Yahoo?
And then if she says it's a Sega Master System, push her into a well.
Yeah, sure. Thanks. I was looking for... I was really psyched to play Alex... No, fuck, I can't even pretend. Chameleon, Kid Chameleon. Shit, whatever. Do you guys want to... That was Sega Genesis. What? Fuck, whatever. Do you guys want
to
Yahoo?
I wanted to play Willy Beamish. No, but wait, I Sega CD.
Yeah.
I actually think you're thinking about Alex Kidd and Miracle
Alex World. Kidd and Miracle World. Shit.
Yeah.
Damn it. How about a Yahoo?
Yep.
This one was sent in by Level 9000. Yah, Drew Davenport. Thank you, Drew. It's by Yah, Drew Answer. Oh, they're anonymous. Didn't want the word getting out on this one. It's on the society and culture etiquette category. And Solid Snake here asks, how do you play Snugglebug at a party? Rules?
Pardon?
How do you play Snugglebug at a party? Rules? What are the rules to the popular party game that is known widely across the world and this beautiful country as Snugglebug?
What, Griffin, what?
How do what you...
You've got to stop bringing this stuff unless you've done a base amount of research. I got the wiki out. Let me break it down for you guys. I'll just answer the question. You get a fairly large group of friends together, or at least five people.
Oh my God, I'm reading the
it
rules.
It says get a mixture of male and female players, or if you want, it can be single sexed. So basically, fucking any, like, almost in, like.
You could have two guys, three girls, three guys, two girls.
And a pizza place. Snuggle with a pizza place.
They have managed to be redundant and also exclusionary. So, like, if you just don't identify, like, you can't play Snugglebug. That's the one thing. If you don't identify with the single gender, like, there is no Snugglebug in your future. I'm very sorry.
And WikiHow is the authority on this. This is the rule book.
Get a bowl or anything similar to that. For example, a hat, a pillowcase, a bucket. So, again, fucking anything. Go to a suitable location. If your parents give you permission, you could use your house.
Your parents will not give you permission. Mom, Dad, I would love to get my snug on. Can I use your room? Can I use your marital bed?
Wherever you go, be sure there are places you can hide. Not somewhere like behind a sofa, but a different room.
Come on. Bring it. You're not even trying. Behind the sofa? Fuck. Come on.
Get everyone who is playing to one place and get them to stand wherever they want.
Nope. Get them to sit or stand wherever they want.
Sit or stand. Okay, just as long as they're not, like, fucking
no crouching.
On all fours.
Don't be prone.
Yeah.
No hovering.
Get strips of paper so each person playing has one. On all the strips of paper except for one, write down, you're not the snuggle bug. Or if you want to save time, just leave it blank. Yes, I really want to put the effort into this. On one of the pieces of paper, you write down, you're the snuggle bug. Got it.
On one of the pieces of paper, write down, I'm going to kill you, Devin.
Give everyone a strip of paper from the quote unquote bowl. Like, okay, we get it. They can read it, but they don't let anyone know what they have. Ask some people to volunteer to search for the snuggle bug. It shouldn't be too many. About two people searching for every five people playing. This is fucking crazy. And then turn off the lights and everyone should spread out searching for the snuggle bug who should have gone and hidden.
I don't understand. I need you to back up to the last step of the game. I don't understand the search phase of snuggle bug.
You go searching for snuggle bugs.
Some people go searching for Snugglebug. Also, if you're the Snugglebug, don't mess up the game and volunteer to search for the Snugglebug. It's just really annoying.
But that seems like that would be the best way to go, because then you just make the other searcher disappear.
Right. Turn off the lights, and everyone should spread out, searching for the Snugglebug, who should have gone and hidden. And 11, this is the last instruction. Snuggle if you find the Snugglebug. Or if they want, they can do anything else.
Oh, shit.
Fuck if you find the snuggle
bug. Hey, do you guys want to play Over the Pants Stuff Bug? It's my new favorite teen game. This rule set is crazy. You draw it, and one person's the snuggle bug, and then people have to volunteer to search for the snuggle bug. This is a mission you may not come back from. Why wouldn't you go search the snuggle bug? If you're going to play snuggle bug, why wouldn't you go search for the snuggle bug? It's a binary. You're either searching for the snuggle bug or not. And then what are you? You're just fucking sitting or standing around? This is
apparently.
This is crazy.
Well, Griffin, you have to hide somewhere, but like in another room, not behind the couch, dipshit. And then like, I guess when you find people and
no,
they're like,
only what he's saying, only the snuggle bug needs to hide. And only some of the people who are not the snuggle bug volunteer to go search for the snuggle bug.
And when you find them, it's just like a big snuggle pile, or you only the searchers snuggle, to snuggle them.
If you find the snuggle bug, you snuggle them.
This is the fucking worst.
If you're searching there are some tips here. If you're searching for the snuggle bug but are having a hard time, you could team up with another person who's also searching for the snuggle bug.
Do a little three-way snuggle.
Could my other person be a bloodhound?
Bryce. You gotta be careful, though. If the two of you find it, it turns into Reservoir Dogs. Like, who's gonna snuggle this bug? And you don't trust the other person. There's a lot of backstabbing and underhanded.
Snugglebug does sound like a cutthroat game.
It sounds like a bullshit game. Where's the resource trading phase?
Wait a minute.
This
is an excuse for teens to grope each other.
Yes.
It's not a game.
You can
grope thing. Hey, you know what, teens? Just grope.
Just grope, teens.
What's with all the artifice?
Be careful about. Protect your heart.
Oh, no. Consensual groping.
Yeah, protect your heart. Protect your treasure and all that. But it's just... I'm all about coming up with excuses to rub up against your friends if both of you are into it, but it's just, this is a bad game.
I have a new game I've invented.
Okay.
And this is how you play the game. You look at somebody and you say, hey, do you want to snuggle with me? And if they say yes, you snuggle. And if they say no, you say, that's totally cool, I understand. And then you move on to the next player.
I just feel like in inventing Snugglebug, they invented a reason to consensually fondle each other and didn't stop to think about the collateral damage, which is that I might have to read the rules of Snugglebug someday.
Can you imagine if you are the Snugglebug, right?
And wait, when hold on. Okay, I'm behind a couch. No, wait. Fuck.
No, do better.
This is the plot of Eyes Wide Shut 2.
I have excellent news.
Oh, boy.
WikiHow is apparently chock full of bullshit rules for fake made-up games. Can I interest you gentlemen in the three steps you need to know to play hot boiled beans and bacon?
Yes, please.
One, send the person to find the object outside. Like, you have not set up a vocabulary for any of this shit. Like, I don't know what any of that means. What object? What,
he okay. who is chosen will know.
He who is chosen will be called. Have the rest of the players hide any not too large object in the room. Like, this like, is a group is activity.
What?
Like,
have don't a hide a big screen TV.
When they have hidden it, shout outside, hot boiled beans and bacon. It's hidden, but can be taken.
Hot boiled beans and bacon. It's time for the rites, the sacrament to begin.
Hot boiled beans and bacon, the purge has begun.
When she gets close to the object, say, you're getting hot. Or if she's going away from it, say, you're getting cold. If she's very cold or very hot, it denotes that he is either very close to the object, very hot, or she is very far from the object, very cold.
If holy shit, we get it. If she's near
to the object, yell, you're burning. If she's extremely far from the object, say, she's freezing.
Set them on fire.
When she finds the object, reward her with a small prize, and then there's a picture of a Snickers bar. A fun-sized Snickers bar.
Because they're having fun.
That would be the only... Here's one of the tips. Good prizes are bags of pretzels, little toys, candy, etc. Good things to hide are hats, dolls, shoes, books, etc. Oh
Jesus, WikiHow.
Good places to hide are on bookshelves, under the sofa, in a drawer, etc. If the weather is bad outside, just send the person into another room with a blindfold on. Maybe some earplugs or earmuffs so she can't hear where you're putting the object. Capital S for no reason at the end. That's
Did we just break Justin?
No, I'm looking at the community member who wrote this. It looks like he's 11.
I need to know his name.
His name's Daniel and he's from Belgium.
Okay, maybe. So they don't have hot and cold over there, is what you're telling me.
Yeah.
This kid was just like, ooh, I'm on some new dope shit. Guys, he's at the playground. Guys, I'm on some next level shit over here. What if you hid the object? What object? Shut your fucking mouth and let me finish. You hide the object, and then when people get far away from it, they're cold, but if they get close, they're hot.
Boiled beans and bacon.
I'm really hungry now.
Yeah, for hot boiled beans and bacon?
No, just in general.
So I'm in the bathroom at work and I hear an iPhone camera take a picture in the stall. How should one respond? You're just bragging. You know how to respond. Say no paparazzi, please.
Yeah.
Listen. Hey, guys, listen. No pooparazzi.
Hey, pretty good. I did this once because there's some really fun graffiti in a bathroom at one of the places we went on the Midwest tour. And I was like, oh, great. And I snapped a picture. And for some reason, you can't, like, mute that particular function on your phone. And so, yeah, it definitely sounded like I was either doing a dick or turd picture. And neither of those are things I want.
So if you're the picture taker, you have to just say, like, I'm taking a graffiti picture. Snap.
Out loud. This is of graffiti.
Please don't misconstrue this camera sound. I am not displaying neither my junk nor my turd.
But see, I would respond, that's exactly what a junk snapper would say.
So maybe you announce, like, I am taking a picture of my dick. And then they're like, well, he's definitely not. He wouldn't say it out loud.
Well, no, because that's definitely something a dick snapper would say. Here's what you do is you say, you go, and then you ask the person in the stall next to you for their phone number, and then you text them the picture you just took. That is the only way to get, like, actual verifiable evidence on this.
What if you heard, like, you right after that, you heard the door open and an aide say, Representative Wiener, it's time
for... Oh, Justin, really? It's 20, it's Justin, it's 2015.
You guys heard about this story?
Let me try again.
Justin.
If you hear the door open in here, you're Representative Favre. It's time. Also,
oh, this good, fiction, good.
Brett Favre has been elected to the House of Representatives.
Yeah, sure. Was this last year, too? Was last year just not a great year for dicks?
Or a great year for dicks?
I would argue a bad year for dicks. Brett Favre's 100,000 years old, and he's probably got a little bit of football-related mangling going on down there.
He's got a football dick.
Listen, he's a wonderful, he's a great quarterback, and he did great things for the Green Bay Packers, but his dick is just beef jerky down there.
Who's that celebrity dick pic you're always trying to get me to look at?
Oh, Jeff Probst? I don't try to get anybody to look at a picture of Jeff Probst's dick. I just do it.
Mask the file name and then just tell me to pop it open and then there it is.
Travis will be at the beach and a bottle will wash up on shore and it'll unfurl a scroll inside and it'll be a JPEG, printed out JPEG of Probst's member. It's a great, and it's ethically dubious, but it's a great picture of a dick. Cool dick. He looks really cool happy. Dude.
Cool pose.
Let's break down all the great things. Well lit. Let me open it up. Well lit, yes. Fantastic photo quality. Great. I have to load it up because I don't want to get it.
Ann Geddes took it. His dick is resting on a sunflower.
It's a fun thing to type in. It's a fun thing to search for. So just to go down the line, looking at it now, I'm looking at a censored version, which is fine. He's got a nice necklace on that looks like something you would wear on the show. That's fun. He's got the best part of the picture. Again, great hog, but the best part of the picture. Well, okay, the second best part of the picture is his face. He's so happy. He's really very, very legitimately
He's
happy.
He's fucking jized about it.
He's super jized about this whole situation. And that's what makes me feel
the
less
look
bad
on his face
it.
Is though he was somehow through some sort of like time temporal like disturbance. He was present at the invention of the camera. As though like he was taking a history making dick shot. Like it was the first dick shot anybody had ever taken.
I thought that his face made it appear as though he just discovered he had a dick and he was really proud and excited by it.
So the best thing about the picture is he has a farmer's tan around where his cargo shorts always are. Because this motherfucker's always wearing cargo shorts. Always wearing cargo shorts. Even when he's not on the island and he's not adjudicating, this motherfucker's cargo shorts 24/7. And now it's like a perfect little picture frame for his cool wang.
Well, think about it. Like, cargo shorts are his work clothes.
Yeah.
So, like, how can you get more cash than that? You can't, like, dress down when you're not at the office. Like, it's just, like, a baseline of cargo shorts.
Like, shorter cargo shorts?
I guess. Or, like, they're, like, faux cargo shorts, but they're made out of sweatpants material.
Ooh.
Maybe that's an option.
I like that.
This picture brings me a lot of...
But again, great hog.
Cool hog.
That's right? Enough. Top-notch wang.
Great penis. Anyway, and also do want to say that it... Just to reiterate, we know it is ethically dicey. We understand that. Just wanted to say.
It's the only one I need. I get no erotic satisfaction out of it. It's a sort of spiritual satisfaction.
You like his hot beans and bacon.
Oh, God. Let's go to the Money Zone.
This week, my brother and me sponsored by Harry's.com. We've talked about it before. We're big fans. Harry's, it's razors, but like new and cool in a new cool way, not like the old shitty way.
Which was what?
The old shitty way was you had to like go to the store and like find somebody to unlock a case and like hand you like they were nuclear launch codes, like your razor blades and stuff. But with Harry's, ship it right to your door. And you hear that and you think, so I bet it's super expensive, like that wine of the month club I belong to. But it's not. It's very affordable. In fact, you can get a Harry starter set for just $15, which includes a razor, foaming shave gel or shave cream, and three razor blades plus free shipping. Like that's an incredible deal.
Yeah, it's a great deal. I'm just furiously searching because now I'm starting to worry because I did a search for Jeff Probst's dick. And I'm worried that this picture that I built a significant part of my life around.
Don't say it.
Might be a fakey fake bullshit.
No!
Photoshop. And here's the thing. You can go to harrys.com right now and get $5 off the starter set with the code MYBROTHER, all one word. So that's just for $10, you can get the razor, foaming shave gel, or shave cream, and 3 razor blades, plus free shipping using the code MYBROTHER. Start shaving better today!
We got our correspondent, Griffin McElroy, on a story. In the meantime, God. Jason Wersitz, I have a message for you from Gina Wersitz-Abel. Dear Jason, happy belated birthday, big brother. I hope this puts the biggest smile on your face while you recover from the traumatic going upstairs injury. Sorry you can't have nice things like bones. I miss you so much since you moved across the country, but can't wait to reunite with you at the MBMBAM show in Portland. Love, Gina.
I hope that happened.
I hope that happened, too. That would be weird if he was like, wait a minute, she was at that show?
She didn't tell me that.
She didn't tell me that. Maybe she was waiting for the message to be played. Well, now it has been. And so very belated happy birthday to you, Jason.
And I hope that you've recovered, Jason.
Quick update on this story. Have yet to verify the veracity of the image in question, but I will say that if you Google search Jeff Probst fake nude, you'll get a lot of hits.
Griffin, have you checked out Snopes?
There's actually a Snopes forum post. They have not confirmed it. Wow, there's just a lot of dicks of all sorts. Wow, that's a lot of dicks.
Adam Lumpy Franklin, I have a message for you from Samantha, and it says, happy 40th birthday to my favorite bacon-loving cousin. I hope you and Shelly have convinced our favorite brother to come up and join us for your birthday festivities, or at least host a live show in Texas. Enjoy that office birthday cake. Thanks for being awesome. Love, your favorite cousin. You know what I like about that? Very direct, very to the point, very positive. I'm a big fan of that message.
I do think in there, though, are you saying Griffin's your favorite brother?
What did I do?
I think you're their favorite brother. While you were looking at Jeff Probst possibly fake
dick. It's not even Jeff Probst anymore, guys. Like, I have crossed the Rubicon. And searching Jeff Probst fake nude is apparently a fucking AOL keyword to take you into a tunnel of dicks.
You've hacked into the mainframe.
I feel like Neil Armstrong, like, I am stepping foot onto a part of the internet where I am the first voyager. I am the first explorer. I'm the first hit that these dick pics.
You've entered, like, the Delta Quadrant, and you can't come back, and it's full of Borg, and by Borg, I mean celebrity penises.
Guys, there's nothing funnier than a bad fake naked picture of Jeff Bro, where his head is, like, there's some shit on here where it looks like he's got, like, a crazy giraffe neck or something like that, and his face is, like, way, way paler than the rest of his nude body. I need to get the fuck out of here. Escape pod, go!
Get out of there, Griffin. Get off of the silk. Get out of the silk chode.
Let's start the money zone.
Hi, I'm Julie Sabatier, host of Rendered. It's a show about making meaning and breaking rules. We're answering important questions like, can you build a spacesuit in your living room?
I went to my brother's place in Beaverton, and he has a swimming pool, and I pressurized the suit and sat down there underwater for about 10 minutes. The thing that I had built was supporting my life. That felt really good.
What does it sound like when you play a polka record through a styrofoam cup? And what happens when an airport carpet gains a cult following?
Oh my goodness. The carpet has an Instagram.
Check out Rendered now at MaximumFun.org or wherever you like to listen to podcasts.
How about, instead of that, Griffin, how about a Yahoo?
Yeah, sure. This Yahoo was sent in by Level 9000. Yadru, Drew, Andrew Davenport. Thank you, Drew. It's by Yadru Answers user Justin Bieber. Probably not accurate. Who asks? Boxing combinations? Boxing combos I can use that are unique and cool.
Do you mean like the old 1-2?
Like the old 1-2, yeah. I think that's...
The new 1-2?
Yahoo user Bundini says the very basic combo is the 1-2 or jab straight. Yep. Doesn't look exciting, but if you can master it, the timing and accuracy, it's also the most effective and dangerous. My favorite, though, is the 3-3-2 or the double hook body and head and straight. Tyson loved throwing it, and if you have the speed and explosiveness of Tyson's fist, and I do, no one would survive it.
You don't survive it? Wait. Sorry? No one would survive your crazy punch combo?
Oh, I've got these just crazy murder hands.
Yeah. And he did. And I do.
I think my favorite combo is the nut-nut butthole.
And how does that work, Travis?
You punch the left nut, and then you punch the right nut, and while they're hunched over, you punch
why would they? You'd have to get completely around them. This would be an extremely difficult maneuver to pull off, Travis.
Listen, Griffin, this is not a beginner
The precision
move.
You would need to isolate each testicle would be impossible.
This is why I never fight Stretch Armstrong anymore, because mm-hmm. he would always go for that combo.
Can I say something? If I had to get in a boxing match against Jeff Probst right now, I feel like I actually could pull this off, because I feel like I know that territory. Like, so super well.
Better than he knows it himself.
I can punch that shit in, like, the Konami code, just using his different areas as the inputs.
Wouldn't boxing be better if they could do, like, moves? If they, like, studied the combos and they could, like, Hadouken?
Oh, that would be fucking tight. If in the Pacquiao Mayweather match, like, if anything had happened in that match, it would have been cool. But if, like, at one point, like, Mayweather's just like, oh, pretty good fight. Yoga fire! And then spit yoga
Get
fire.
Get over here! Yeah.
Man, that would be tight.
Oh, it seems the champ has been frozen. Oh, and he shattered. Okay, well,
that's the end of the match. We'll get him back together for you.
Yeah, that would be good. Boxing's not my thing. Have you guys ever just like sat down for some boxing?
Yeah.
I hear it's the most beautiful sport.
It's not. Right. I think there's a lot of sports more beautiful.
The sweet like, science.
Sweet science. That's what I was looking for.
The most dangerous game.
The most dangerous game. Now that I would watch.
You know, it's a weird thing because almost like with most sporting events, like you know, sort of what you're gonna get, right? Like at least if you're sitting down to watch something produced by the WWE, you know you're gonna get showmanship. You know you're gonna get some drama.
Yeah.
You know you're gonna get some high flying action. If you're watching a football match. You know, there's going to be some downs, there's going to be passes, and it's going to last around 2.5 hours-ish.
And even if it's like a low-scoring thing, it's like, oh my God, the defense.
The tension is still there.
Go.
There are boxing fights where somebody just punches somebody so hard that it knocks them out, and that's the end. They don't wake him back up and say, hey, people paid a lot of money for this.
You got to finish, though.
You have to finish it.
I bought a 12-pack of a seasonal microbrew. I can't wait to have a great evening with it. Well, all right, bye, guys.
And they don't refund you for the unused portion of the fight. They don't prorate it.
They should make you go 12 rounds. Like if you can't...
they prop you up like we get burned right. in the corner.
If you can't get up, the guy's just going to lay on the ground and punch you.
Just keep punching him.
He doesn't have to, but he could.
He could just lay down beside you and stare at the ceiling.
Does everybody remember
they have to go the whole time?
Everybody remember he laid down first, right? Okay.
I'm going to nap now, too. If he wakes up, you wake me up. I don't want him to punch me while I'm asleep.
A knockout should be if the guy counts to 150.
That should and be he doesn't knockout. Lose track while yeah. there's people throwing numbers at him randomly.
What if there was a crew that they could bring in? We'll call them a boxing fun time squad. And if a match lasts 35 seconds, right? In a Ronda Rousey fight, for example, which not boxing, but fine. And then she does her thing, gets out there, 35 seconds, down, match is over. But, like, I've got, like, my crew together. Like, I worked hard to get my whole squad together. And I'm trying to, like, hang out and be entertained. What if there was, like, a fun time squad that could, like, get out there and, like, do some improv games for 2 hours?
Wait, I like that.
Maybe you get a clown out there to stand in front of her with a cape. And she just runs at him, and then he hides in a barrel.
Yeah.
What if it was just like if you go down the next in line, like now your trainer has to go out. And if your trainer goes down, now like your hype man has to go out.
Oh, and now your hype and now man your son.
You yeah, know? And it's just like succession.
So,
right?
Shit. That way when you're fighting, it's like, I've got to do good in this fight because I do not want my son in the ring with Tyson. Because then if he goes down, then my grandkid's going to go in and he's 2 months old.
And he's terrible. He hasn't mastered the 1-2 yet.
No. His 3-2-2 is good, though.
What if after you get knocked out, if it was too early, after you get knocked out, like a ring of people dressed exactly like you, like hop into the ring and encircle the person like in a kung fu movie.
Oh, shit.
So then you have to take them all on at once, the final challenge.
Well, now they have to fight a shadow version of themselves. And like,
oh,
so
that would
like
be good.
You knocked out Steven, but now you have to fight yourself, but evil. And like, all your moves are equal.
After you get knocked out, you transform into a giant pulsating mass with one flashing glowing eye
in front.
And you're shooting lasers and fireballs and stuff.
Yeah.
And
it seems the challenger has entered his second form.
That would be boxing.
And here's what they don't tell you. You're supposed to lose that fight.
Yeah, you have to.
Because then you wake up in like in the inn, and it's like, oh,
in
he's rampaging the town.
You must become Dovahkiin. If you're going to take on Manny Pacquiao, you must become the hero you're always meant to be.
Welcome to, be still, hero. You're in Mighty Glove Village. Awaken and take these wooden gloves in preparation. No, you can't leave the village until you find steel gloves and a mouth guard.
Unfortunately, your punching shield was destroyed in the fight.
Well, Brian, it seemed like the over-under on that match was way off. It was much shorter than we thought it was going to be. Pacquiao just could not hang in there. Now we must go collect the 7 crystals of legend, and
but first he has to find the missing cat for the local old woman before he can leave the village.
Do a little bit of grinding in the haunted forest, and just collect the magic sword. And I think now, Steve, let me stop you right there. You cannot bring a sword into the ring. That is boxing 101. No swords.
It would be an amazing bit of intimidation if you like lean in and just as the match starts and say, "You should have destroyed my Horcruxes first."
Yeah, sure.
They would just lay down because they knew they weren't going to get it.
I've got the Elder Wand in my glove.
That's also against the rules.
What? Hey, brothers, my wife is pregnant and is going to be delivering our daughter in late November. Apparently, they don't let women eat or drink in labor, and I don't want to have to risk her having the baby in a fast food drive-thru on the way to the hospital to get snacks. What are good snacks to bring during labor? Her first suggestion was smuggling in a pizza. A cheese pizza.
Cheese pizza.
And she doesn't listen to you.
So this is cool.
I wish I hadn't done that great goof for you. So this is a genuine, but maybe she'll hear this bit, because of course you'll play it for her, and she'll be like, man, I don't like this podcast, but it's a fucking good Tim Curry. So this is a genuine desire and not a Naked Totino's tie-in. That's from Brandon in South Carolina.
Is that true? They don't let women eat while they're in labor?
Yeah, I mean, okay, the question is a little bit muddled. I'm trying to follow the logic. It says they don't let women eat or drink in labor, and he wants to know some good snacks to bring. Like, is he going to just, like, covertly shove a Nature's Valley into her mouth? Like, what is the...
Baby, he's not looking. Have these M&Ms.
Baby, you got to take these pills. Mm-hmm. Hey, wait a minute. Those are combos. Get out of here.
You know, this is my 2 cents here. Granted, I've never been in a delivery room. But if the doctor says, like, she shouldn't eat, you should probably stick with that. Like, I think I know best that my wife wants Doritos. Is this true? Like, is this a thing? Like, it seems like a weird incentive to get labor over quickly. To be like, oh, I'm so hungry. Like, and you can totally have a sandwich.
Yeah, you want this
as soon as you're done.
You want this chili dog? Squeeze that little baby out.
Pop that baby out, and you can totally have.
I don't know.
Pringles.
I think I want to keep this baby in here for a little while longer. Oh, are you sure? Because I've got I've got this new. They made a new flavor of Pringles. And I've got them.
Maybe that's trying to entice the baby out too. Like, oh shit, I don't know what Pringles are, but I'm into it.
I just hear
a pop. Oh, then hello. I won't stop. Be right there.
I think that babies in the womb actually probably do know what Pringles are. So great are Pringles that they just
they've heard about it.
I think they're baked into our DNA. Like, I think when we come out and we're crying, it's because we haven't had Pringles for as long as we've existed. You know what I mean? And the only way you can shut that up is to jam a couple of Pringles.
Plus, their commercials contain coded ultrasound messages in Morse code.
True.
A lot of people don't know that. Yeah, I mean, it's weird, but yeah, that's like the scoop. Now, I think that's probably something I would guess, and I'm not sure, but we took like our birth training classes at like a I don't know what you'd call it, like a home birthing center.
A coven.
There, thank you. And like, I think they let them eat on the reg, but I'm not sure since we didn't actually go through with it there.
Oh, like at like the
at the birth center. If it's not, center. Yeah, like if it's not the hospital, I think they're like, that's a that's bullshit.
Oh, so maybe this is just something the hospital cooked up to save money on, like, food bills.
Yeah. Or maybe the doctor had to be in there for a long time and just didn't want stinky cheese dogs in there the whole time he was trying to do the baby thing. He
just give him some Soylent.
Yeah.
It's a meal in a glass. Don't. You know what I mean? Or some Guinness.
That's not good either.
Maybe mix Soylent into Guinness.
I don't think, like, beer is a great option.
But it's like bread. It's like bread in a glass, Justin.
Well, okay. It's also like baby poison in a glass. I don't understand.
Maybe like, what about non-alcoholic Guinness? Does that exist?
It's called Caliber with a K. And it is disgusting. It tastes like raisins. Don't get
Caliber. Take
that, baby. Enjoy this disgusting Caliber.
I think if you get hungry or thirsty enough, you'll drink whatever. That's how what happened in that 156 hours. The dude like got stuck in the rocks, and he was like, "Oh fuck! All I got's Caliber. Well, I'm gonna dump that right out,
and I'm gonna cut my arm off so I can eat it."
Mm-hmm.
Is that what happened in that movie?
Yeah, he cuts his arm off and he eats it.
So wait, I do have a question because I'm never gonna watch that movie.
Yeah.
After he does, and we all know what happens, right? He cuts his own arm off so he can escape, right?
Or did he?
Or did he? So, like, a lot of people aren't sure. I guess Griffin had just raised. I don't know. Is the Jeff Frost?
The man I saw on the Today Show that one time looked vaguely holographic.
Okay, but anyway, so like after he cuts his own arm off, like, does he finish climbing or whatever? Like, he's already there. Like, don't you think you would just like, well, I'm already here. Might as well finish climbing.
No, no.
What do you, I mean, what's he get, does he just leave?
Yeah. He just kind of, that was the whole point of the whole enterprise of him cutting his arm. It's not like he cut his arm off, was like, cool, now I can sit down. Oof, this is all I needed. Oh, what a good sit.
He just, maybe just needed a break. I mean, he's already there.
I'm done with my sit. Time to snap back in.
I don't know where he was climbing, but one could assume it's like a long drive to get there. Like, he's going to have to drive back out later.
I mean, he had been there for 100 and it's like 62 hours. I feel like he'd gotten his money's worth.
Yeah. You know what? I regret. You know what? I'm going to pop my other arm in there. I'm not ready to go.
There's still more fun to be had.
Hey, what if as he was climbing, he like reached for the same spot with the arm that he had cut off, and it just like swung past? He was like,
not today.
Not this time.
Have you guys
seen
386 Hours? It's this crazy movie where this guy gets his arm stuck, cuts it off, incinerates it, has an arm jar. He's like, hey, you know what?
What you've been listening to is, I think, a 100% authentic recreation of the first meeting with James Franco about this film.
Yeah.
Like, guaranteed he was pitching this. Like, he should just go back up. He's already there.
I have another Yahoo. This one, wow, shit. I promise I didn't plan this, but it's a hat trick. Yeah, Drew, do Davenport. Thank you, Drew. It's by Yeah, Drew Answers user. Oh, it's anonymous. Shit. Let's call him the Highlander. The Highlander asks, does anyone know how to curse a real sword?
Details?
None details.
None.
A real sword?
Yeah. As opposed
a
to
a real, like, yeah, with a knot, like with an edge and metal and what all.
Yeah. You're just your typical real sword.
Yeesh. Light quality?
Doesn't say.
Just like a real, like, curse like a Nerf sword? Does he want to curse a Nerf sword?
I mean, a Nerf sword is real, but I think in the real in this subject is modifying sword. So, like a real, like, fighting sword.
A real sword. Ugh.
Do you know how to curse a Nerf sword?
Gosh, a real sword? Had to be real, didn't it?
Yeah, that's the...
Couldn't you just take your Nerf sword curse and, like, use it on the sword?
Yeah.
Which sword?
The real sword.
A real sword. Cursing a real sword. Gosh. A real sword.
Can I ask...
What about can I interest you in a cursed... Wait, what did you want?
Real sword.
Gosh. A real one. Oh, crap.
This is great. This is great because I felt like I was kind of running on empty coming into the end of the episode. I was just like looking for something like this to just sort of coast in on.
What's the date?
It's September 4th when we're recording this.
Roughly what time in, is it?
About 5.
About 5. Okay. Whose time zone?
Yours.
And what kind of sword?
Very real.
Gosh. Oof.
I want
a real sword. This is a curse.
Can I ask what's bothering you so much about this?
I mean, do you have experience cursing like a decorative sword,
or not, or like blessing a real sword but not cursing it? Like, it seems like you're upset about literally every word in this sentence.
What did you want to happen to the real? Like, I got the real sword. Like, I see you have a real sword that you brought with you. What did you, like, clarify for me what exactly you want to happen?
We wanted to curse it.
Curse what?
A real sword.
Gosh.
Can you enchant?
This is a toughie.
Yeah. Can you enchant a real sword?
Enchant it with what?
Magic.
Yeah, but what kind of enchantment are you wanting?
Fire. Like, let's say fire.
What?
Like fire.
Well, a fire enchantment on a real sword is that's no problem at all.
You
yeah,
knock that out. That. You knock that out over the weekend.
Do that. Yeah, I'll do that.
But what about, so just take that and like curse the real sword?
Yeah. But I know. Think about it this way. Think about the sweat equity that you're building. When people buy swords and they just put them up on the shelf and they think like, oh, that's gonna increase in value. But it's not, because a sword needs to be honed. You know what I mean? It needs to be used. Or in this case, it needs to be enchanted with dark magics. And if you do that, you're going to be able to resell this for, God, I don't know, 50 to 100% profit. Depends on the curse, too, and the sword.
Yeah, I mean, I would think, depending on the kind of sword that you're wanting to curse,
real.
It could be really easy.
Yeah.
Or it could be really difficult. It depends on the type of sword that you're wanting to put the curse on.
What about a scimitar?
What kind of scimitar? That is tough. $100.
That wasn't even the question. The question was, does anyone know how to curse a real sword? Not how much would it cost Justin McElroy to curse my real sword.
Wait, what did you want to curse?
I'm so mad you didn't stick the dismount. You flipped in the air for 20 minutes. You didn't stick the landing. A real sword.
$200.
Why did it increase?
You wasted my time, kid.
Okay. All right. Are you going to curse this fucking sword for me or not?
I will if you keep your voice down. Wait.
I need you to buy some of these unicorn figurines.
Wait, is it a fucking sword? Because that I can curse. That's no problem. As long as it is not, I can't even say it.
Yeah.
Real?
$300.
I'm leaving. I'm leaving this store. This is a bad store run by not business-minded people.
Well, I have some bad news for you.
What's that?
It's a Starbucks, and you've been dead the whole time.
Well, wait.
Twist. Shyamalan.
Why do I have a sword?
Do you? Look at your right hand.
Holy shit, this is not a real sword at all.
That's one of our new sausage and Gouda sandwiches. They're new this week.
Can you curse this for me?
Yeah, no problem.
How much is that?
How much is what?
Cursing my sandwich.
Oh, that comes free with the purchase.
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah, do it.
No problem.
Can you toast it?
Okay.
Wait, hold on, stop. Are you, in your mind, when you toast something, and this is very important, I should have asked this up front, when you toast something, do you refer to that as cursing it?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, when you say sausage and Gouda sandwich, are you referring to a real sword?
No, it's a real sandwich.
Okay, that's no problem.
So when you, in the morning times, you say, hey, I know what I'll have, a little breakfast time treat. I'm going to curse some waffles.
Right. Give them the curse of incineration.
Okay. You know what? I will have that on my sword. Thank you.
Have what?
Thank you all for listening to My Brother and Me. That was our Who's On First. We're going to break that out into a little ka-single. Going to stamp that on the vinyl. We'll have people sign that. We'll sign that for folks. Just come to our shows, bring our cursed sword single. And we'll make sure to you won't leave unhappy.
Can I just say, somebody out there, one person, just found their favorite bit of all time. time on this trip.
I think, can I say that? I think it was fucking you.
I think it was Carl Reiner.
Carl Reiner thought that was a real good goof.
We want to say thank you to everybody who came out to our live show tour in the Pacific Northwest. It was amazing, and everybody was incredible. And Seattle and Portland and Vancouver, you're all super nice, and we really appreciated the warm welcome. Except for Vancouver, where it rained a bunch, and most people didn't have power. So it wasn't really that warm, but we still appreciate it.
And the welcome was warm.
I have $20 Canadian dollars with me still, so if anybody wants to swap, let me know.
We also want to say we've got another live show coming up in just a few weeks. We're doing LA Podfest this year. Now, here's the thing. You might be sitting there going, but I'm not in Los Angeles. Good news. If you go to lapodfest.com and click on live stream, you can watch a live My Brother, Me, and the first ever live Adventure Zone from anywhere. And it's only $25, but if you use the code Zone or Brother, either one, you can watch it for $20. You save $5 and you help support our show. And the whole thing, you can watch all the shows, not just My Brother and Me and Adventure Zone, but Stuff You Should Know is going to be there. Indoor Kids is going to be there. And there's a ton of other ones. Speaking of, Stuff You Should Know comes on right after us. So if you're going to be at the live show, stick around. Watch their show,
too. Is Indoor Kids doing right before us? That's
going to
be a fucking power play. That's going to be a good set, y'all.
It's a huge lineup. So go to lapodfest.com, click on live stream, use the code Zone or Brother.
I want to thank John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song as a departure off the album Putting the Days to Bed. If you didn't listen to last week's episode because it was live, you should at least listen to like the first minute and a half of it because he played our intro for us and he was super cool. He's a really super great dude. Thank you, John.
That video is up too. You can, if you look at our Twitter, we retweeted it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've, Jeremy, Frank. Our friend Jeremy, filmed the whole thing. So I've got the whole Seattle live show on video. I'll be putting that up in chunks pretty soon.
Oh, speaking of which, if anybody happened to do that for the Portland show, will you please holler at your boy?
We talked about that in the live app, in the interstitial. Yeah, we lost Portland. I've seen a few people on Twitter. It seems like a mixed reaction. A lot of people who were at that show are like bummed that the show they went to isn't going to exist ever, but there are a lot of people who like now think of themselves as the recipients of this rare gift. It was an okay show. It was a pretty good show. I guess it's the kind of show that you'd be happy to be one of 600 people to listen to.
What I think we should do is post what we have, maybe not on the feed, maybe just for download, and let people record what they think Travis is saying in any given moment.
Oh, everyone can do their own sad lib.
Exactly. It's like a sad lib where you're filling in for Travis. Like, you get to be like we're going to call it the joke's on you.
Oh shit, because that's good.
I like that.
Thank you. So you're going to record a full episode where you're just sitting with Travis and it's got to dovetail as nicely as possible. And I don't know what you should do with it then.
I hope their jokes aren't better than mine.
What if we did it as a contest? And then we actually release that episode.
Yes, that is an excellent idea. Yes, that's an excellent idea.
Speaking of contests, the MBMB AM Game Jam has been extended. I think the new deadline is September 13th, if I'm not mistaken. Go to mbmjam.com and check out all the details there. It's not too late. Go do it.
Davenport's been tweeting at us pictures of him making shit on the original PSX RPG Maker, and it has been giving me the craziest like nostalgia I've probably ever experienced in my entire life, because I put maybe 150 hours into that game. Oh, RPG Maker, I miss you so. Are we done?
I think so.
Speaking of Drew Davenport, 4-in-1 show. Has that ever happened before? Probably.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Thank you, Drew. It's by Yadrew user Sinkaivu. Sinkaivu asks, is Dakota Fanning still alive?
I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been My Brother, and Me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.
Hi, this is Biz.
And I'm Teresa.
And we host a show about being new moms. Have you ever pretended to be a sleeping rock to make your three-year-old play by yourself?
How about scream singing to make yourself think you aren't screaming? You're singing really, really loud!
Join us every week for more helpful tips on creative parenting. And remember, you don't have to park your toddler in front of the TV to be one bad mother.
Subscribe for free on iTunes or go to MaximumFun.org.